This is the Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
Earlier this week, we were talking about how the New South Wales Greens wanted to legalise the personal use of cannabis in New South Wales. There would have been certain regulations. The New South Wales government shot down that bill. The bill was introduced to the upper house in state parliament last week by the Greens MP and drug law reform spokeswoman Kate Fowman. And the bill would have legalised recreational and medicinal marijuana in New South Wales instead of making possession punishable by fines and jail. Now, the Attorney General, Mark Speakman, he made it very clear last week that the government was going to block any proposed law which would potentially add $2 billion to the economy. Now, regular listeners to The Night Shift will know I've spoken twice to Michael Pettison, who is the ALP backbencher that introduced the decriminalisation of cannabis in the ACT. We spoke to him when he was introducing the legislation, and we spoke to him again at the beginning of this year, 1 year down the track. And remember what he said? He said, the sky hasn't fallen in. There's been no problems. So I thought, why don't we talk to MP Kate Fairman about this and find out where she's going to take it. She's on the phone. Thanks so much for joining us, Kate. Welcome.
Pleasure. Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, so it worked in the ACT. They decriminalised the personal use of cannabis. But let's start with you. What was the bill that you introduced? What are the conditions surrounding it? Tell us about it.
Okay, so essentially it is to legalise the recreational use and possession of cannabis, and as you said as well, the medicinal use, although that's legal, if you like, but it's still very hard to access. So I kind of start with the premise that, you know, one in three, apparently the stats are, of adults have tried cannabis at some point in their lives. To be honest, I think it's probably higher than that. One in 10 in the last year. So people are using it, they're using it, they're buying it. So let's make it, let's just get real with this and make it safe. So this bill would also allow households of two persons or less to grow up to 6 cannabis plants. More than that, they can grow up to 12. So if you have a household of more than 2 people. Also, basically, it sets up a cannabis authority, if you like, to regulate the supply of cannabis. So we can have cannabis growers who would get a license to grow the stuff. It would go through the cannabis authority who would set the price. They would dictate things like health warnings, importantly, the strain, the level of THC or CBD, all of this important stuff, I think, that people really do need to know, but at the moment don't. It would also regulate things like retailers, as well as important safety provisions, if you like, say, not being able to operate cannabis stores within 200 metres of a school or childcare centre. So we have really thought this through. We've consulted with a lot of stakeholders in this process, and I think it's a really sensible bill to regulate something that a hell of a lot of people are doing anyway with very little harm to themselves or others.
So it happened at the beginning of this year in Canberra after lots of discussion. When I spoke to Michael Pettison, he said, you know what, Luke, the sky didn't fall in. Kate, the only problem he said they had was some minor cases of university students jumping fences and stealing each other's plants.
Yes. Well, I think if that's all that's happening, considering those university students probably would have been going to the black market before.
Those pesky students.
You know, I think I was one of those students, and I think a lot of people have been one of those students as well. Not jumping the fence, but I said in Parliament the other day that, yes, I used to smoke pot with my uni mates, you know, on the weekends, absolutely. And I just think pretty much everybody I know did at the time.
Okay, so if it does become legal or we decriminalise it, that would take the illegal factor out of it. So what effect on society and to the marketplace would that have?
Well, one of the things is, of course, there's hundreds of millions, potentially billions of dollars that is being spent by people buying their pot on the black market, firstly. So we kind of bring that out into the open. We can tax it. So that money can go towards, for example, drug treatment programs. So here in New South Wales, we have one drug rehabilitation centre west of Sydney. Like, this is in the regions, right? Unbelievable. This is a big state. We have a heap of people who want to get treatment for, you know, really serious drugs like ice, and we just don't have the services. So if we could bring that money in by taxing something that is really relatively harmless and that a lot of people consume, which is cannabis, then let's spend that money, put that into our health system.
Okay, let me just play devil's advocate. For example, a doctor who's emailed me said a number of his patients that smoke pot regularly suffer from psychosis, paranoia, and other mental health issues.
Yes, they absolutely can. That's right. And that's why it has to be out in the open. Of course, people can get into trouble with cannabis because it's a drug. You can get into trouble with any drugs. I've actually spoken publicly about my personal experience with my mother who has passed away. She had a terrible addiction to prescription drugs,
yeah,
legal drugs.
Really?
So, yes, yeah, so we think about the awful situation right across this country with people with prescription drugs. The thing with legalising cannabis, and yes, people can get into trouble, but they can be warned. For example, if you suffer from these certain types of mental health conditions, it's recommended that you don't consume this product, similar to, you know, pregnant women with smoking, for example. So we can have all of the health warnings. We can have people who are, people can go to their, for example, their psychologist or their doctor and say, this dang thing's legal now. I can actually talk to you openly about it. Do you think it's a good idea? Is it going to relax me or make my condition worse? And I tell you what, cannabis for anxiety, particularly CBD oil, of course, is doing and working wonders for a lot of people. The research shows that it is.
Exactly. I'm talking to Greens New South Wales MP Kate Fairman, who attempted to introduce a bill into the New South Wales upper house last Wednesday that would allow people to grow their own cannabis plants at home. You were talking about two people growing up to cannabis plants, and households with more than two people could grow up to 12. How would you police that? And if let's just say two people grew seven plants, you wouldn't want them going to jail. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, well, I think at some point that's a question for, in some ways, the police. Like, how much do they, once something is legal in this way, where, you know, people, like, I suppose that what we have to make sure of is that if somebody is going to be a supplier, that they are regulated and licensed. You know, that's where the taxing comes into it. We also have something called social clubs, cannabis social clubs, which I think a lot of people are interested in this bill. It happens in Spain at the moment, where people, this bill would allow people to, basically, it's like a not-for-profit where they can grow cannabis and sell it amongst their members. So that's another way of getting around it. To be honest, if the police in a particular in this state wanted to hassle people over like having eight plants, I mean, that's we're trying to move away from that with this bill, you know.
Okay.
Again, I just have to say, you know, people, we have hundreds of thousands of people across this country who are smoking cannabis every day. Like,
yeah,
it just isn't impacting people personally, but it's making a big impact on the criminal justice system.
Kay, I've got another question for you. You mentioned the levels of THC. Now, when you drink alcohol, we know that the limit is 0.05. And my capabilities of driving a motor car at 0.05 might be completely different to yours or to somebody else. But we do know that 0.05 is the limit. It would have to remain zero THC in your blood with this new legislation?
Yeah, look, it's a real...
Because how do you know what the level is? You know, when you buy alcohol, you might buy a full-strength beer and you know what the alcohol is, or a light, or you buy vodka or scotch or bourbon and you know what the alcohol content is. You don't know what the THC level is in cannabis, do you?
You can know that. So one of the issues, firstly, with the illegal market is that the THC content of weed has really increased People aren't necessarily wanting to buy really strong stuff. The CBD content has decreased, and it's the combination of THC and CBD apparently, which is a good thing with cannabis. And when you remove the CBD, which relieves anxiety and stuff, that's not so great. So the stuff that people are buying is more potent. They don't know what they're buying. Sometimes it's laced with chemicals, sometimes pesticides,
sometimes
it's laced with harder drugs, right? So that's one thing. This would actually, you can, when it's grown professionally and legally, the THC is absolutely able to be determined, the level of THC. Secondly, with driving, which is an important issue, we believe that people should be tested for impairment. And it's up to the government, it's up to health professionals to develop a good system where that's short. If you're stoned, you shouldn't be driving. But if you smoked a joint 3 days ago and you still have THC in your system, you shouldn't be charged if this law comes into force.
No one knows how many days ago you had a joint.
Yes, that's right. But if it's not impacting your ability to drive, why should you be charged for drug driving? Because essentially you're not drug driving.
I'm talking with New South Wales Greens MP Kate Fairman, who's keen on introducing this bill. Well, it got knocked on the head last week, but she's still fighting for this. Just one more thing, devil's advocate again. What do you say to people who say, look, we have so many drugs out there on the market that are available for people to buy both legally and illegally, alcohol, tobacco, legally. Do we really need another vice out there?
Well, we do have another vice out there, and I think in some ways I'm not so sure it is such a vice compared to some of the others. Look, people take drugs to relax, to have a good time, to you know, have fun with their friends, sometimes to do spiritual journeys, whatever it is people do, they will continue to do so. I think it's very important to regulate drugs that people are going to take so that they know what they're taking, so that they have access to health professionals, and also that governments know, so that they can, you know, divert people to health services if they need. I visited Portugal the year before last. They have a decriminalised model. I spoke with health professionals, police. That is such an incredibly successful model. It means that people can get treatment where they need it, but the vast majority of drug use, and this is a really important point, the vast majority of drug use is actually not a problem, but we need to make sure that those who do get into trouble are given the help they need. And so we have to have it all out in the open. And just one last thing, the government has said this bill is knocked on the head. They said that in the media, but hey, I can still debate it in the upper house, and it's up to every single MP in terms of how they vote.
It's been good talking to you, Kate. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Luke. That was great.
I got a funny feeling you and I will be talking again.
Absolutely. Bring it on.
All right. Thanks for that. New South Wales Greens MP, Kate Fairman, here on The Night Shift on Triple M.